Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Paul Machin. Chris Pajak is alongside me, and we are joined by the United Stands' Mark Goldbridge for this one. Liverpool, Manchester United, the biggest game in English football. Sadly, probably not the biggest game in world football. I've been going back and forth on this, Mark, in the last few days. There's a little part of me that wants Liverpool to be better than Man United when Man United are at the best. But equally, there's another part of me that's lived in the shadow of United being the biggest team in the Premier League era. And I will admit it, and I'm sure all Liverpool fans will be the same, I am like a pig in shit at the moment, like watching Man United's demise. It's been coming over a number of years, but it must still be a pretty unusual situation to be getting used to.
Yeah, I think we are factually at the lowest position we've been in. Certainly in my lifetime, which is hard to say because the last time I was on the show, we were right on the cliff actually of Ollie's at the wheel. And yeah. I think after that Liverpool game at Old Trafford, we had three injuries in the first 45 minutes. And I know Liverpool fans don't want to say this, but I personally think that day was the day where you could have won the league. You let 2 points go. And I was surprised, not how we went for it in the second half. We basically parked
everybody
the bus.
Everybody got a draw against us that season, says that, to be fair.
Yeah. And I think this season will be interesting how Klopp goes for it again, because I personally, well, we'll talk about it in a minute what I think the score will be. But yeah, from United point of view, it's the lowest we've been at, and it's a horrible situation, and the club is rudderless from top to bottom. And that's the facts. And I think, as I said, I'm quite relaxed. I won't be on Sunday, but I'm quite relaxed. Because what do you do? Oh, I can only keep saying what I'm saying is that this is not a fix with a manager. This is not a fix with selling Paul Pogba. It is top to bottom major work that needs to be done. And it's going to be like this for a few years where you're going to be a lot higher than us.
It's funny, isn't it, Paul? Because we've been in that situation when you're going into these games. Because United have got nothing to lose here. I mean, we're expecting
underdogs.
Them to lose. And if they lose, then it's fine.
The roles are flipped. And we've been in this situation. We're saying that we can do this conversation in the bigger picture as well. But even just in this game,
Liverpool got a lot to lose going into this game.
Well, exactly. Man United have adopted the role of spoilers, which is what they were effectively in that game. Everton and United both had one goal in mind in the games in the back end of last season, and that was just to spoil the party, was to do anything to put a blockade in the way of Liverpool's title challenge, and both managed to, in one way or another. And that's what it's become. And we've had this for years, going into these games with United being almost in a different league to us, and us just looking just to knock them down a peg. We knew we were never going to get them down to our level, but we wanted to go there and just annoy them
and derail their title hopes in one way, shape or another.
The one thing that I would expect, and I don't know what your feelings are on this, Mark, is that, and we saw this in the game last season at Old Trafford, you'll see it, the atmosphere will be there, and I suspect the atmosphere will be as big, if not bigger, because of this thing. It's like it gives United fans a common rallying cause, because the Solskjaer stuff can get put away for 90 minutes and the Ed Woodward stuff can get put away for 90 minutes. The focus becomes on beating the old enemy in front of you.
It's interesting because I remember David Moyes of Liverpool came and he basically said, we're the underdogs, and he was sacked for not getting top four. And here we are 6 years later and we are the underdogs. And we're basically in mid-table and we're being told that that's something we need to buy into and be patient with. And
I've seen your patience rants have become somewhat infamous in recent weeks.
Yeah, I'm not patient. I'm not patient because I don't see the vision. I think, you know, I said to Chris off air that this ridiculous notion that what Solskjaer is doing is reminiscent of what Klopp was doing 3 years ago, or even worse, what Sir Alex Ferguson was doing in 1989. I mean, people need to open their eyes up. Maybe Solskjaer will be the right man. For 3 months, he was playing a brand of football that I and many other people wanted to do, but he's not doing that now. The football is terrible. So what is the vision and what is the patience with that brand of football? We will play 4-2-3-1 on Sunday. We will play part of the bus football. But ultimately, we've got to in against Liverpool anyway. As a one-off, you probably would. We're definitely going to do it if we're doing it against Newcastle. So this role of underdogs, I don't know how you know, even when Mourinho was here, you know, we'd just finished second and he got the sack quite rightly, but the drop off under Ollie is just ridiculous.
It reminds me in some regards of and again it's not quite the same because obviously I think United is still at a much higher level generally speaking, but Everton kind of had this put in the post Moyes era. They bring Roberto Martinez in, they had like a really organised defence, and Martinez comes in and goes, go on lads, be yourselves, run free, you know, run barefoot on the beach and laugh and enjoy your football. And it felt like Solskjaer kind of did that a little bit at the after Mourinho. You know his methods are infamous of, you know, embarrassing players on the training ground and, you know, and really being rather overbearing, I guess, in that regard. It must have felt very freeing for Solskjaer to come in, but the issues then become, when that stops working, what's your basis? What are you going back to?
Mark's sort of getting at, Paul, is what Solskjaer's philosophy.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, Klopp, we knew what Jürgen Klopp's philosophy was. He'd cultivated over 14 years, 7 at Mainz, 7 at Dortmund.
I knew what it was, and he's your manager. Yeah. You know, so,
yeah. But Solskjaer came in, and those first few weeks, he looked like it was going to be counter-attacking football, and it was going to be pace on the wings, and you know, really sort of progressive football in that sense. And since he's got the job, it's kind of been like, every point matters now, and we're going to try and just make sure that we get a few points. And he's kind of forgotten all about that. And you know, again, you were talking off air with me, Mark, and not to put words into your mouth, but do you think he's got a philosophy?
International break's great for ever catching a break, isn't it? But people send us stuff, and I'm sure you get it. Somebody sent me an interview of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when he took the Cardiff job, and it absolutely terrified me. Some of the stuff he said about quality of players that want to come to this club. And it's like, oh my God, did no one from the club watch this before they gave him the job? It's like, to be fair to Ollie, I'm not Ollie out. In a sentence, I don't think our board deserves the right to sack this manager. Yeah. They should go, bring a proper board in, and if they decide he's not good enough, which he probably isn't, they sack him. I think this board sacking Ollie doesn't solve the problem. But what his philosophy is at the moment is, we beat Chelsea 4-0 on the opening day, and most United fans will tell you, Chelsea were robbed. How did you do that? But they played the expansive football. I'm not surprised where Lampard is. He's got a vision. We've been playing cowardly defensive football from day one, and I don't really get it because that's not why he got the job.
But the defence has been good, though.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Newcastle, to be honest with you, that should have probably been a draw.
Yeah.
They got the goal, fair play. But we are quite good. I'll say it now. I've been saying for weeks, I don't think Liverpool will beat us. I think it's got 0-0 written all over it because you've not beat us in the Premier League under Klopp. We're good at parking the bus at Old Trafford against you. Salah doesn't tend to have a good game. You know, Young's pocketed him a couple of times, if that is the term. I can see it being 0-0. I think the pressure's on Liverpool because I think if you want to win the league, Newcastle have just beat us. Rochdale have played us off the park. You've got to come and beat us. And I think if you do that, I know it's only October, but that statement is almost like, we've beaten United at Old Trafford. You know, it would be a massive... And you still have that big gap.
But it's funny because it's almost... You're saying it from two perspectives there. You're basically adopting the, we're shit, so if you can't beat us, how shit are you? But at the same token, saying how big a thing it is to win at Old Trafford, and it sits in a weird little pocket universe at the moment.
Psychologically,
again, we've sat in shows with Manchester United with full-time devils years ago and said the same fucking things to them because it's like, oh, hang on a minute, boys. He's clearly a better side than us, but you've got to come out and prove it and you've got to go and win the game, and that's right.
I think throughout my life, if you win at Anfield, it's like you want it to be in a big year. I remember us beating you at Anfield and, you know, Arsenal had won the league. And, you know, bloody hell, we wasted that win at Anfield. We won't get that next year. It's like it's a significant 3 points in your season.
Yeah.
But from the position you're in and how you're playing, Yeah, I think if you get those 3 points, I said to, again, off air, we should just keep it all on air. Where do Liverpool drop points? I've said this before. Where do Liverpool drop points? In this league, Liverpool and Man City are so far ahead. Where do Liverpool drop points? And Man City will be looking at that on Sunday going, that's a game we've got to say they're going to drop at least two.
There's a hoodoo there for us. You know, we don't win at Old Trafford. And you referenced it, Klopp's record there is not great. We haven't really gone for it in the way
even in the Europa League we drew there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did
beat us though, didn't you? Didn't Coutinho score just before half time?
That was one all that game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, we went through 3-1.
Yeah, we won 1-0 in the first.
2-0 we won in the first. Right.
But anyway, either way, we struggle for wins, and that's why the wins we remember the wins.
Yeah,
everyone remembers Andrea De Sena's lobs and and Vidic crumbling to dust in front of Fernando Torres and all those kind of stuff. We remember those moments because they stand out, and that's Goodison Park's like that as well. And that's what it's weird calling it a derby because it's not a derby, but it is a derby at the same time.
It's our biggest game, and it's probably yours.
Exactly, and it's the atmosphere and all those things around it. People, because Everton haven't beaten us in a derby for 20 years or whatever, people think that we win more of those games than we do. But we don't win a lot of games at Goodison Park either. We draw a lot of games, and you're dead right. And that's what the big challenge in this game is. That Chris is, it's. As at the point, and you said it yourself, we've actually got to go there and show something. And coming off the back of the international break, will we have lost a little bit of rhythm? The good thing about it is that I would hope that the level this team's at now, it'll probably relish this kind of task. And because of the way that the game went last time, and a couple of those games have gone at Old Trafford in recent years, I'm hoping there's a point to prove.
I think there will be, and I think listen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Just as much as it's going to be a pick-me-up game for Liverpool coming back off the international break, it's a pick-me-up game for Manchester United and their players as well. You know, they'll have been fed up of hearing about them in the media over the last 2 months of how shit they are and all this, and they'll want to go out there and put a dent in Liverpool's title chances. I think the big thing for me, and it's something Mark referenced earlier on, is that, you know, the way in which we played a few of the games at the back end of last season, the way in which Klopp probably didn't go for the throat, didn't go for the 3 points in games. I agreed with him at the time, by the way.
Points at Old Trafford's a good point, isn't
exactly
it? And I think he did that in February. I think he did. Points.
You don't lose a league title with a draw in February.
Exactly. And that's the point, is that he was looking at it going, get a point here, City going to drop points. City won 14 games on the bounce at the end of the season. Really, nobody, everyone was expecting them to drop points. Yeah. This time around, he'll go into that thinking, City aren't going to drop any more points for the rest of the season, boys. So we've got to win every single game. Yeah. We've seen that in games already this season where he's bringing on subs and we've ended up with Origi, Mane, Salah and Firmino on the pitch. Didn't see that last season that I can remember. Yeah. And he's already doing it this season, 8 games in. Yeah. He's pulled this one out the bag. Yeah. So he recognises that you can't take advantage, you can't plan for City to drop points. If they drop points, they drop points. Yeah. And this game, I think Liverpool have to go for the throat, and that'll be the messaging going into the game.
I agree. I think our game plan for the season is to go flat out for as long, burn as long and hard as you possibly can, and then see where you land. When you start to run out of fuel, you look around and you see how far ahead. If you've got a lead, then you can breathe and you can refresh things. If you have to go again, then you'll find a way to push harder and what have you. Mark, we'll come to you about a little bit more about United. We're going to line up in a second, but Mr. Goldbridge was good enough to join us on the Around the League show on the RedmenTV.com. Here's a little clip from that.
UEFA have had this protocol in place now for 10 years. I wasn't really aware of it until yesterday, if I'm honest. It's never really been spoken about before. We've obviously seen teams, in fact, England were playing in a stadium that was half shut last night because of racist chants and all that type of stuff. It clearly never happened in the last game, otherwise this would have been very much at the forefront of our thoughts. Now, it probably does need a big country to spark this, but ultimately, where do you sit on it? Do you think UEFA are doing the right thing, or do you think the game should have been called off?
I agree with Mark. I put a tweet out last night saying, you know, UEFA aren't taking this in control anymore, and how far does it have to go? How many racist chants you have to have before you can walk off a pitch? You know, in 2019, if you have to put a tannoy on to say, can you stop being racist? To me, that is ridiculous. You know, and the players, I don't think the players have the power, because I think, you know, I put a tweet out last night saying they should walk off, and everyone goes, oh, then the racists win, and then, you know, I think England might lose the game on that point. They shouldn't be put in a position where points are more valuable than racism. Just go, I've had enough. I said no one goes to work to be abused for anything. Don't go to work and have monkey chants and then go, oh, we'll start the game for 5 minutes, we'll wait for them to calm down. That's already too far for me. I'll just go, no, I'm not doing it. And if you get fined 3 points or whatever it is, just go, well, UEFA aren't doing anything about it.
Yeah, you can get that full show on the RedmenTV.com. Sign up. It's completely free for the first month. Get that and a whole host of other amazing content, including the Stats and Tactics shows, more or less every week from Mr. Chris Pajak. We do the midweek final word show, instant match reaction after every match as well, and other amazing stuff. Mark, what are United going to do with this? How are the injuries lining up? Because look, I've not forensically watched United at all this season. I've gently guffawed at the end of the weekend looking at the results. But Mason Greenwood's been getting closer to the team, hasn't he? Mainly because of injuries
and sales of Lukaku and loans as well. Yeah.
So where are you standing? How close is he to will he be involved in this game?
I think as fans, we fantasise a bit, don't we? We live off our heart and not our heads. And I think our team's so bad that you want Greenwood and Gomez and Chong to be given game time. And I don't think they're quite ready yet for various reasons. I don't think they're ready. And also, most importantly, I don't think it's fair, because I remember the class of 92, and they didn't just start that game before Hansen said you don't win anything with kids. Yeah. They'd been bled in over 3 years.
With world-class players around
and
them.
And they had Roy Keane, Cantona, Schmeichel, Bruce as leaders. Yeah. This team hasn't got a leader. So even if they were that good, you know, to chuck them into what is a mess at the moment, it's very, very difficult.
We had this, I remember the great story about Robbie Fowler not being given a chance under Graeme Souness, and there was calls from the stands. Mm. People shouting from the main stand to Graeme Souness, get the kid on, he's better than this shower of shite. And Souness basically shouted back, I don't want this shower of shite ruining the kid, effectively. You know, and that's kind of, I guess, what you're driving at.
It is a fair point. But, I mean, in relation to how we'll line up, I mean, look, Rashford scored for England, and people are like, yes, get him on the left wing. And I actually tweeted, this is the brilliance of flip-flop of football. Dan James is our best left winger, but we're now going to put Marcus Rashford there because he scored a goal against Bulgaria. Mm. He's out of form. You've got Martial and Pogba, maybe Luke Shaw back, all first-teamers.
What's going on with Martial? Because I think he's fantastic, but he just never seems to have, you know, truly hit the heights.
Amazing season this year. Unfortunately, he's only played 3 games. He, for me, came into this season, and that's where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'll give him a pat on the back and say, you can see the work he's done. Like, a lot of people think Martial's lazy. I think he's a fantastic player, but what he did for 3 games, his movement off the ball as a number 9, his hold-up play, things people wouldn't think he could do, was superb, and then he got injured. Rashford, you put him in the penalty box, he doesn't know what to do. You've got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, one of the best penalty box strikers in the world. Yep. That's just a football intelligence issue, I think, with Rashford. But Martial has been injured, and there's a question about his injury proneness. So people are like, oh, Martial, Old Trafford scored his debut goal, he's going to hurt them. Right, Martial's going to come in, having not played for a month, and sort out a Liverpool defence. I mean, Pogba the same. So I think they're back, but they're not match fit. So I think United go into this game, you know, literally on their knees. And the bigger picture is, if Liverpool were to hand another loss to Solskjaer, does it actually force him out the door? Because we've not really discussed it. I'm not really discussed it with anybody. But so
would the time not have been before the international break?
He won't get the sack. He won't get the sack. Even, even if he beat us 4-0, he won't. The club are on this fast track.
What about 5-0?
They won't do it. Seven.
But no, something. It shouldn't be underestimated. The fan power, and it you know, it stings. And it was it was basically the final nail in Mourinho's coffin, losing at Anfield.
It's hard, and you know, as fan creators, it's something that I get constantly. You're clearly Ollie out because you're so negative. I'm constructive about what he's doing wrong. It's a mess, but it's a very big thing to say Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer, especially when you're on a fan channel, because it's, you know, fans do watch it, you know. But he won't be sacked if we lose, but I think that we are going into it in a real state of 0-0 will be our best. I mean, we are bottom of the league or second bottom of the league. The chances of having a shot in possession, we're bottom of the league, basically. Yeah. So you've got a very good defence. I think if we're going to win it, we'd have to do it like we did against Leicester. Maybe get a dodgy penalty. Well, it was a penalty, to be fair. And then defend it out. So I think that our game plan rests on keeping a clean sheet and maybe nicking something or getting a point, which would be a good result for us.
What does the midfield look like if Pogba's not fit?
Shite. But we all said it at the start of the season. The midfield is, I mean, to talk about that game last year, if you look at what happened when Ollie came in and all the games he won, one of the common denominators was Herrera. Yeah. It started going wrong when Herrera wasn't on the pitch and he went off injured against you. That's where it started. And we never replaced him. So you basically get, you've got Matic, who's terrible. You've got McTominay, who's got potential. You've got Fred, who's looking like a flop.
I'd forgotten he even played for you until...
So you're constructing a midfield out of that. It's a very bad midfield and it gets dominated by every team. And you've got a very, very... I wouldn't say you've got a star player midfield, but you've got a very good midfield who work very well together and work. So the midfield is where most games are won and lost, and I think that's something Liverpool will look to exploit.
What about the lads on the wings? I mean, if you're playing 4-2-3-1, Daniel James be left-hand side, who'll be right-hand side?
Well, again, this is a major issue. I mean, Pereira's been playing there and he's not a winger.
And how will they
track
with
Robertson on the left?
How will they track with Robertson and Trent?
I don't think they will. I think Dan James looks like he could be a decent player, and he does graft hard. So I think he will go with the runner. But Pereira, he's not even a winger. But the choice is Pereira, Mata or Lingard, who are just dreadfully out of form. So it's got to, you know, it's horrible to say it, but it's got to be, and it makes me sick, it's got to be a backs to the wall job against Liverpool, because you cannot open up the game. They will absolutely annihilate us. We've got to get everybody behind the ball.
Interesting to see. Certainly, Gwen, if you had to give us a score prediction,
I'm going to go 0-0. I think that the, you know, football often isn't about an individual result. It is a bigger picture, and I just feel that this will not be a loss for Solskjaer. I feel that we will get a little bit of a bounce from this. I feel it's going the same way as Mourinho, where he was looking at the sack this time last year, and he rumbled on till December. And I think Ollie will definitely make Christmas. So I can see a draw, although I agree with everybody who says Liverpool are going to win, because obviously they're the favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting stuff then. Make sure you go and subscribe to the United Stand channel. You already do, I'm certain of it. But please do go over, and as I say, go and check out the Around the League show with Mark and Chris and Ross over on the RedmenTV.com, discussing all the things in and around world football at the moment. More on Man United, some stuff on obviously the fallout from the England-Bulgaria game as well. Free for the first month other than that, and we will see you all very, very soon. The build-up show is to come later this week as well, and we'll be over on the United Stand channel if you want to check out more of that. So see you all soon. Ta-da.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.